Good evening, church. I just want to begin this evening by saying thank you, Byron, for having that lapse in memory. It makes me feel a whole lot better. Actually, Byron, I thought that would be funnier than that, but let's just move on for what we're here about. Ephesians chapter 4. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're on the Bible track, you've done this. Ephesians chapter 4. You've read it. You've been through it. Maybe done a little bit of study and a commentary. But when you're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, you have that section of Scripture in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 on Christian unity. And then verses 11 through 16 on equipping and edifying the body. I want us to, as you have your Bibles open, I want us to zero in on verses 17 through 21. 17 through 21, God's people, as you know, are called to a way of life that is different from the world. And as you look at that section, it's like the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul, don't live like others. In fact, that's what he says. He says in verse 17, no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Don't live like this. Don't walk like this. How were they living? And he says, don't live like this. How were they living? And I want you to notice the description here as we go down verse by verse. Take a look at verse 40, verse 17. How were they living in the futility of their minds? Well, what does that mean? Worthless thinking. Carries with it the idea of minds full of folly. There was just the futility in their thinking. There was the emptiness and the worthlessness in their thinking. Now, when it comes to our minds and our thinking, if we're not going to live like that, if we're not going to have that kind of mind, then we go to other passages of Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things that are above and not on those things that are on the earth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, that passage says we have a mind makeover. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It is to have a new mind, a new attitude, a new way of thinking. Not the futility of our mind, he says, like the Gentiles. Do not live like this. Notice in verse 18. Their understanding, he says, is darkened. Well, what is that? Their understanding is darkened. It comes to their discernment. Their discernment is clouded. They are confused in determining what is right or what is wrong, in determining what is good or what is evil. What does the Bible say in other passages about being people who are discerning, that we are able to discern between right and wrong and good and evil? One passage is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, where he says to the spiritually mature, those who have by reason of use their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. This passage says there is good and evil. And there is to be a discernment between good and evil. And how do we make that discernment? Is it our choice or what we like, or is it by some human standard? We're able to discern what is right, wrong, what is good or evil by making that comparison to the Word of God, because God's Word teaches us from cover to cover what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. The psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Well, where does the understanding come from? "Through thy precepts I get understanding." What does that understanding of God's word lead me to? I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. There is an understanding between what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is evil. It comes from the Word of God. But they were darkened in their understanding. Do not live like this. Notice also in verse 18, alienated from the life of God. Now remember, it's referencing the Gentiles. You no longer live like the rest of the Gentiles live. Well, what is their condition? How do they live? They are alienated from the life of God. They are separated. Alienate is to be separated. They were shut out from fellowship with God. They were shut out of companionship with God. Alienated from the life of God. The life that God offers. The eternal life that God offers. And how they were living and how they were conducting themselves. They were separated. They were alienated. They were shut out from that eternal life that God offered. Fellowship, companionship with God. There are other passages of Scripture that teach us about fellowship and relationship with God. For example, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. Truly, John, writing by inspiration, he says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." He says, our fellowship, our companionship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, in fellowship. We're not shut out of that fellowship. We are not alienated from the life that God offers. In fact, it goes clear back to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. What do you remember about Enoch? Oh, yeah, I remember Enoch. Let's see, what is there about Enoch? Oh, Enoch walked with God. What does that tell you about Enoch? He was in companionship, he was in fellowship, he was in close relationship with God. But not these Gentiles do not live like this. He says, alienated from the life of God. As Christians, we live in fellowship and in relationship with God. Notice something else about them. In verse 18, how about ignorance? New King James Version has ignorance. What were they ignorant about? Well, if you look at what he's already talked about, they had their ignorance, the lack of knowledge of God, His Word, and spiritual manners. They just don't have that perception. They don't have that knowledge. They are out there, those Gentiles that he's referencing, do not live like this. They are living in ignorance of the knowledge of God, the Word of God, and those spiritual manners. What about our Christian life? What about our Christian life? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We are not to be ignorant of what the will of the Lord is. We are not to be unwise, but we are to understand, we are to know what the will of the Lord is. Paul, writing to Timothy, said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul says, "I am not ignorant. I know. I know in whom I have believed." You know, we talked about that this morning in 1 John. "By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." But they were ignorant of God and his word and spiritual manners and the relationship with God, the fellowship that they could have with God. And Paul is reminding those Gentile Christians, do not live like this. Do not live as the other Gentiles live. So they were ignorant. And that we strive to grow in our knowledge of God and God's word and God's will. We're making that journey through the boot camp, phase two. And we get into the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But what else is there about these Gentiles? Blindness of heart. Now, all of this is from the New King James Version. You may have something a little bit different if you're in the NIV or the New American Standard or English Standard Version. But in the New King James Version, it says blindness of heart. Carries with it the idea of an obstinate heart, a calloused heart, a hard heart. And you know, it's true, and it always will be true. It gets back to the heart. The heart of the manner is the manner of the heart. What was their heart like? It was the blindness of heart, the hardness of heart, and having an obstinate heart. What kind of heart are we to have? Do not live like this. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said that we are to love God with all of our heart. We are to have a heart that loves God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." We are to have a trusting heart. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart." In our hearts, we have set apart, we have sanctified Jesus as Lord. Or you remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Or how about David's prayer in Psalms 51 and verse 10. After his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, there is the outpouring of his confession and his repentance. And in that prayer, he says, "Create within me a clean heart, O God." And we have that kind of heart, not the blindness of heart, an obstinate heart, a hard heart. But we have that kind of heart that is here described in Scripture. What else about these Gentiles? Notice in verse 9, past feeling. Past feeling. past feeling is calloused. But let's go a little bit further. Past feeling. No sense of grief, remorse, or pain because of sin. Now that's calloused and past feeling. No sense of grief, remorse, regret, the pricking of the conscience because of their sins. Apathy. They just don't care. Past feeling. You may have been at some point in a study with a person, and you sit down and you share the gospel, and that doesn't prick. They're not receptive. And then you say, I'm going to come back, and what I'm going to do is come back is I'm going to try to move them emotionally. I am going to scare them. And so you talk about hell. And you talk about the fire and the brimstone. And you go over every passage of Scripture that has to do with that place of eternal existence that we don't want to be, that is reserved for the devil and his angels. It is a place that's burning with fire and brimstone. And you go through all of that. There is nothing. Nothing. And then you decide, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to them and try to persuade them from the standpoint of what Jesus did. And you go through the cross and you talk about the agony of the cross and you talk about the pain and suffering of the cross. And you talk about Jesus going to the cross and Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. And before that, the humiliation and the beatings and the scourging that Jesus went through and how he went to the cross and he suffered and he died for you. And there is nothing. And you're coming to the conclusion, I think this person is past feeling. That there is no regret. There is no remorse. There is no sadness. There is no grief for their sins. Spiritually, it is a apathy that has set in that seems to say, I don't care. Past feeling. What do we learn from Scripture? And I want you to think about some examples. I want you to think about Peter. Peter certainly was not one who was past feeling. Because you read in Matthew chapter 26, after the denials of Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. And the rooster crows. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. He was moved to grief and sadness and sorrow and repentance and tears. Because of his sin. Or think about David, King David. You can read his prayer in Psalm 51, David's heart felt prayer of repentance and confession. And you can even go back before that, when Nathan the prophet came in and said, "David, you are the man, you are the man." And how did David respond? "I have sinned against the Lord." David was not past feeling. He was moved to confession and repentance and acknowledgement of his own sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. That section talks about worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. You know what worldly sorrow is? You've heard this before. Worldly sorrow is, "I'm sorry I got caught. And now I'm going to be spending X number of years in prison. I'm sorry I got caught." That's worldly sorrow. But he says there's godly sorrow. That is godly sorrow. That is sorry that I have offended God. Sorry that I have been disobedient to God. Sorry for sin. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. You know, not these Gentiles. Repentance, sorrow, confession, they were past feeling. Don't live like this. Brethren, let's live lives of repentance and confession. And then notice finally this evening, verse 19. Lewdness, King James Version, New King James Version. Lewdness, sensuality, impurity. He said that's how they were living. He says, don't live like this. You can just see their lifestyle, the lewdness and the impurity and the sensuality and the immorality in their lives. What does the Bible say? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, put to death. Put to death. Put what to death? He says, put to death, Colossians 3, 5. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Lust. Evil desires. And greed. Which is idolatry. Says you put those to death. Don't live like the Gentiles. Live. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, he says. Or Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, he says, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on God out of what kind of heart? A pure heart. We are to put off and put on. Slide down to verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the conclusion that he comes to. Don't live like this. You put off the old person. And he says you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I think all of us this evening desire to live in that way. That we desire to put on that new person. That we don't want to be fashioned after the world. And as he says, do not live like this. That we put off that old person, that we put on the new, and that we live a life that is an example to others as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You know, this is what happens when we obey the gospel. We put off the old person. And we put on the new person in baptism. The Bible says that we are resurrected to walk in newness of life. You know, we started that walk. You know, you calculate how many years we've started that walk. As we put off the old and we put on the new, and we started that walk in following Jesus. And there are times when we need to go back to passages like this. And those passages say to us, do not live like this. Put off the old. Put on the new. Let's remember that this week as we go out. Somebody's always watching. Somebody is always watching. If those people come in contact with know that you are a Christian, and they should. They should know that by your life. They should know that the way you speak. They should know that by what you say, that you are a Christian. And so as we go out, that we are living that new life which has been created in Christ Jesus. We're going to sing that invitation song. And if you need to respond this evening, we would invite you to do that as together we stand and sing.